want to greet you all this morning in the precious name of Lord Jesus Christ. Blessing it is to be here together with you and look into the Word of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Lord, we just want to thank you for your goodness, for your mercy. Lord, we just ask that you would fill us with your Spirit, give us wisdom. Father, help us be faithful to you, Lord, to the calling you've called us to. We again just want to thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Want to again thank the Lord for his goodness to us and his mercy. This morning I want to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Just read verse 1 here. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not yet able. For you are still fleshly, for since there is jealousy and strife among you, you are not fleshly. And are you not walking like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not mere men? This is, what then is Apollos, and what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything but God who causes the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation and another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, hay, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built on it remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you thinks that he is wise in this age, he must become foolish, so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness before God, for it is written, He is the one who catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the reasonings of the wise, that they are useless. So then let no one boast in men, for all things belong to you, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all things belong to you, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. All right. The first verse there, it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ." In Hebrews, the Bible talks about men. We'll just turn there, check. Chapter 5. Verse 13, "For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil." Okay, what I want to talk about this morning is just simply what it means to be a man. Be a Christian. We talk about, ask the Lord to fill us with His Spirit. What does it mean to be filled with God's Spirit? What does it mean to walk with God? What does it mean to truly just be what God wants us to be? We just think of the foundation. This talks about this foundation. Now, if any man builds on a foundation, and what I want to talk about is the foundation that we have. You know, one of the most amazing things to me, this talked about wisdom here in Corinthians, and one of the most amazing things to me is that the simpler something is, the more profound it is often. Many people are wise and they can explain big, lofty things, but when someone can just take something that's very simple, and and understand the very simple, it's just amazing how wise it seems. There was a man named George Washington Carver. He was a smart man, he thought, and he did a lot of things. He invented a lot of things. But whenever he was young, he asked the Lord to reveal to him the secrets of the universe, to show him how the great things of this world. And the Lord said, "That's way too big for you. I can't show you that." And he said, the Lord gave him a peanut and he said, "Here, figure this out." Many people would be offended at something like that, but he took this peanut, and I think he developed like 300 different things just out of that peanut. Peanut butter. He made things out of the peanuts. But the point was that he took something very basic and very simple, and he learned it. And that's what I want to talk about here, building this foundation. We think of many things sometimes about what it means to be a Christian. You know, there's all kinds of explanations. People can just talk about being a Christian all day long. But what is a Christian? A Christian is a man that lives like Christ lived. It's just that simple. What kind of a man was Christ? You know, the Bible starts in the Garden of Eden, in the creation. The very foundation of what God created in the very beginning. God created a man to be just what God wanted him to be. He created the man. He created a man. He put him on this earth to take care of a garden, to take care of the things that were right in front of him. And man had fellowship with God because he was what God created him to be. But then we know that man fell. A man fell in the garden. And so, ever since then, man wasn't just exactly what God wanted him to be. He became enslaved to Satan. He became the servant of Satan. He came in bondage to death and to separation from God. But Jesus came to restore man to what he was supposed to be. We know that Jesus came as the first Adam. Adam was the first Adam, and Jesus came as the second Adam. God tried again with a man that was just a man that would listen to God and follow Him and do His way. And that man was Jesus. That's who Jesus was. We have this idea that Jesus was some kind of mysterious, mystical, spiritual being. And we think way high and way lofty. But that's what threw everybody. They were seeking this high wisdom. And here, when Jesus came, He didn't come being a king. He didn't come being the super smart guy. He didn't come having all the answers to man's problems that they were trying to figure out at that time. He just came as a man. And He lived His life as a man on this earth. And that's what a Christian is. That's what being Spirit-filled is. Is having the same Spirit, the same kinship that with God. Being what we need to be while we're here. We have this idea that we're a Christian is some great man that has this spiritual experience, and all of a sudden God just transforms them into something new. And we think that we've been transformed into something higher than just being a man. And we miss it. Because being restored, being renewed, being born again is to be remade into what God wants us to be. That's the foundation. How do we get there? One of the statements that is so everybody's trying to be a Christian by praying. Or trying to be a Christian by understanding what the Bible says. They're trying to learn all the great teachings. And they're trying to figure all these things out. Instead of just being what God wants us to be. They put all those things ahead and they wind up missing what God wants us to be. To be a man. Like He created us to be a woman. One of the statements we've said before is, you've got to be a good man before you can be a Christian. That just flies in the face of what we're taught in religion. That you've got to be a Christian and then you can become a good man. But it's not that way. It's opposite of that. You've got to be dependable. You've got to be honest. You've got to be trustworthy. And those are things that are within your grasp that you can be if you only want it. It's not some mystical thing, being a man of God. Look at the men of God in the Bible. They were just simple men doing what God wanted them to do. That's who God looked upon. Have you seen this man? It wasn't, he's so spiritual. He's super above everybody else. No, he never says that. He looks at those men and says, have you seen him? He's just doing what I want him to do. He's just being a simple man. That's not very glamorous. That doesn't puff us up and lift us up to be somebody. Paul talked about Apollos and Paul. They said they're just servants. They're just planting. They're just doing the basics of what they're supposed to do. And that's all God wants any of us to do. One step at a time, doing what is right in front of you. Doing what is right in front of you. We get so carried away thinking about something, how to understand the universe, and God gives us a peanut and we crush it as we're looking for something bigger. All God requires of you is to do what's right in front of you and do it well. Do it to the best of your ability. The Bible says in Proverbs, it says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. How hard is that? How many times do you boys or you girls, your parents tell you a chore, and you just start into that chore and you just wish you could do anything but what was right in front of you? You just can think of all kinds of things to do. You can just think of all kinds of things you would rather be doing than what is right in front of you. You just try to, oh, I'm just going to hurry through this so I can go do what I want to do. But if you'll just learn to do what's right in front of you, and do it well, and be happy while you're doing it, that's taking a step towards just simply being a good man. Just very simple little things. And as we take that step, God shows us something else. You don't learn to be a great man by taking giant steps. You don't learn to be a godly man by bypassing all the little steps. That's one of the things we've tried to teach young men and young women that have come to us and tried to learn. We've tried to teach them. You learn how to be a man first. People want to study their Bible and read and read and read and read and read 10 hours a day and all of this. And they neglect the very simple of being a man. Being what God wants you to be. Facing those times whenever you're asked to do things that you don't want to do. Just being sick of just doing the mundane thing. Just being tired of just doing the very simple thing that's right in front of you. Thinking these great big lofty thoughts. And neglecting the foundation that might get you to those higher things one of these days. You don't miss steps with God and get to God. You do not bypass steps that God puts in front of your face and expect to get to God. It'll never happen. God wants you to walk one step at a time. The step and the path that He leads you in. Otherwise, you're on your own. And that's all He asked. It's very easy. One time, I was explaining some of these things to a woman. It was a huge church, and she was the secretary, and we were supposed to go talk to this pastor. And she asked me what we believed, and I just began to tell her these simple things. And she said, "What college did you go to?" And I said, "I went to God's School of Obedience." That's it. I went to God's school of obedience. I walked the simple step that was right in front of me. I took the step that God placed in front of me. A lot of times we think walking with God is going out through on a mountain somewhere. You're holding hands with God, walking through daisies and just having all this blissful thoughts and blissful ideas. That is not walking with God. Walking with God is when He shows you a step. And a step is something where you have to lift your foot and raise yourself to the next level. That's how you walk with God. He shows you a step and you say, "Lord, that's too hard. That's too high. That's too big. I can never make that step." And He says, "Take the step." And while He's saying, showing us this one simple little step, we're looking way up there. "I want to be up there, Lord. I want to be up there. I'm going to go study my Bible. I'm going to go pray. I'm going to do all kinds of works to please You." And all He wants is for you to take the step that's right in front of you. You might not understand it all. You might not like it. But that's how you learn to walk with God. That's how you learn to bear a cross and just walk in the path that He is leading you to. That's all He wants. And that's all it takes for you to be a man of God. The man that God wants you to do. Sometimes we've got an idea of church and religion. And it's got to fit all this big pattern. And sometimes I just get so sick at church. I get sick at church and religion. It just trying to build something. But that's not what it's about. What I'm saying is, church and religion gets in the way of people walking with God. It gets in the way of you having to work out and make your own decisions in the things that you're doing. Talked to a sister this week. And she's young. Just started dressing modestly. And this may sound silly, but they're going on a trip and they're going to help build some houses, and they want to have a scuba diving journey on this trip. And she's always wanted to go scuba diving, always wanted to do this. And she's torn here. She's torn. This is what I really want to do. And so she called, just wanting some, what should I do? And I told her, "I'm not going to tell you what to do. I want you to figure this out. First of all, put that little suit on. And then go stand in the mirror. What do you think? How does that fit with your modesty program? Or what if you just wore this little suit right out in the middle of where you're at? What would you feel like?" She knew exactly what it felt like. That seems to some people like obvious. But it is a step to her that she needs to take so that she can learn to take the next one. That's the problem with religion and church. when someone else has already got it figured out for you, you don't have to ever face those simple little steps that come your way. You don't ever have to exercise yourself unto godliness, and you wind up drinking milk your whole life because someone else has already got it figured out for you. But this simple little thing, it's a glorious example of a young lady having to decide whether she wants to take a step or not. That's what it means to walk with God. And it's that simple. These verses here says, no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. What foundation did he lay? He laid an example of being a man. He gave us the example of being Adam, the way God wants Adam to be. It's just that simple. You try to lay something other than that on that foundation, and you're wasting your time. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Right here is where church goes wrong. Because it's not laid on the foundation of someone facing a step and walking and growing. It's based on, I've got my theology, I've got my ideas, I've got my little box, it's all got to fit in there. That's a foundation other than Christ Jesus. Now, if any man builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, we've got this foundation that we're have an opportunity to build on. Talked about eternity. We're building every day. Each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built on it remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. The best thing God can do to you is to prove you and test you, to put you through fire. We don't want that. And so we don't take that step, because that'll put us in a place of vulnerability. That'll put us in a place where people might actually see what we truly are. Let me tell you something. If you take a chain with links that big around with steel, a bulldozer chain, I mean, those things are big. And they're linked together. And you have 100 link chain, great big steel chains. And in the middle, you got a paper chain holding it all together. How strong is your chain? How strong is your chain? It doesn't matter one bit how big those links are, how heavy and strong the steel is that holds all of them. The only one that matters is that one made out of paper. Because that's how strong the chain is. That's what's real. That's the one that matters. You're no better than your weakest link. And I'm not talking about the church. I'm talking about you. We can build on our foundation a great, wonderful thing that appears strong and rock solid, and cover up that little piece of paper. No, it never gets revealed. But one day it will. And the chain will fall apart. And everything will be burned. That's why it's important to be in a place to let God test us. And prove and show us what we're made of. Things in your life, everybody may see. But then there's that weak link that you don't want nobody to see. That you want to keep covered up, that you want to just keep hidden. That's what you are. That's what you are. You are only as good as your worst day. Because that's what you really are. That's what I really am. We can have a lot of glorious, glamorous days and look really, really up there. But when it comes right down to it, my best is my worst. Because that's what I really am. We can put on a religious show. We can put on a big display. The Pharisees, they wore their long things and they had the things tied on them. They put on a big display. But Jesus saw their weak link. Jesus saw their weakest part. And he knew that's what they really were. He knew that's what they really were. And he sees us too. All the show that we put on, all the appearance that we might appear, it's only going to be that which comes through the fire. That which survives the fire. That's why it doesn't do any good to put on a big show, to try to impress someone. We've got to walk the step that God puts in front of us. And if we fail, get right back up. Don't go running to some religious security or safety. Step up and take the step while it's there. That's how we get to God, one step at a time. Got to be a man before you can be a man of God. There's just so many qualities that are good foundational qualities. Dependability. Honesty. Openness. God hates the false show. That's one of the things that I learned a long time ago. I don't care whether I impress a man or not with my performance, with what I say. I don't care. Because God knows what I really am. God sees what I really am. And He knows. And I don't have to impress anybody with that. I don't have to jump through hoops to make sure I fit with every group or this group or that group. I just got to be the man that God made me. And that's what
the church is built on. Men who will be that. And just simply be faithful. You know, that example of that young lady. I know religious men that can't hold a candle to that. But they have the appearance of greatness. But they can't hold a candle to that. All Jesus does is calls us to be like Him. To take up our cross and follow Him. That's the foundation. And that's the simplicity. And as you take that step, He gives you strength to take the next step, and the next step, and the next step. Well, there's just heard a quote. He's a big football coach. He said, there's no such thing as perfection in this world. But he said, if you'll strive for perfection, you might reach excellence. That's good. If you strive for perfection, you can reach excellence. How do you reach it? By doing perfect things? By never failing? By never? No. By taking the step that's right in front of you. The very simple step that's right in front of you. In Matthew chapter 25... He gives the examples of the sheep and the goats. And the question that all of them ask is, when did we see? When did we see? When did we see? Oftentimes we're so busy looking for Christianity, this mystical greatness somewhere, this star Christian. And we miss. When did we see? When did we see that one over there that just needed a little help? We're so busy being religious that we miss. When did we see that hungry person? That cold person? That person that's struggling? That person that needs a hand up? We're so busy being religious that we'll say, Lord, when did we see that? And He'll say, it was right in front of your face. It was right in front of you. Right here, this person you despised. This person you didn't like. This person you didn't want to help. This person that would have got your hands dirty to try to help. That's where you were so busy being religious and Christ-like that you missed that little thing right in front of you. We sang the other evening. There's an older lady, 103 years old, at the nursing home. And we asked her what song she wanted to sing. And she said, Brighten the Corner Where You Are. She said, that's what I want sing at my funeral. Brighten the corner where you are. You know, you might never do anything planting, building, all of this like Paul's talking about. But you can brighten the little part of the world that you live in. You can brighten the little part of the world. And if you do that, you've done all of it. Just brighten the corner where you're at. There's people you come in contact with every day. What do they see whenever they leave you? Boy, he's a grouch. Or do you Does their face brighten up when you walk in and say hi to someone? That's brightening the corner where you are. Just step in and say hi to somebody and their face just brightens up. What's wrong with that? It's so simple. Or do they all hide and slither away from you? Because you're going to get preached to again. People love Jesus. They loved Him. The Pharisees hated Him. But the people that were sick, the people that were hungry, the people that needed help, loved Him. They were glad to see Him. They were looking for Him. They'd climb up in trees to see Him. They had mobbed together just to touch His garment. Because He was the light of the world. And if we can't be that, if we can't be that, I don't care how holy you think you are. You'll be standing on the sideline saying, "Crucify Him." Just like the people will do. Brighten that corner where you are. Be that. Be that light. In your home. In your neighbors. In your family. You know, one of the first things a man taught me was, when they started preaching the gospel, it says they started in Jerusalem, and then they went to Samaria, and then to the other parts of the earth. Where did they start? Right at home. They started in Jerusalem. And once they were a light in Jerusalem, then it could spread out to Samaria, and they could be a light there. We want to go, first thing people want to do. They get saved, somebody sticks a Bible in their hand and a handful of tracts, and they want to go on a mission somewhere. Well, it's probably no wonder, because there wouldn't be anybody care what they thought here. They want to go off to Africa somewhere. Right in the corner where you are. And you'll have your hands full. You'll have your hands full. Then somebody might say, "Hey, look, he can go over to Samaria now." Christ sent us into the world. He didn't tell us to go see how holy of a little group you can stay with and be with. He wants you to be a man in the middle of this world. Not 2,000 years ago. Not 500 years ago. Right now. You are called right now to this generation. You don't have to mimic what happened 2,000 years ago or 100 years ago. Right now, you be what God wants you to be. You want revival? You start brightening the corner right where you are. You light a little fire right where you are. The simple things. A little fire. They've got a fire warning out. Because hundreds of acres can burn from one little spark. We see that happen with rumors and gossip, how quick the tongue can say one little thing and set a spark, we can be that same spark of light. The same spark of goodness and light and kindness brightening the corner where you are. That's what it means to go into the world. Jesus came to save that which is lost. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He knows what I am. He knows what you are. And going through the fire, putting you through the fire, lets you see it. Amen. Well, may the Lord add His blessings through His words. Just take the step that's right in front of you. That's a big enough burden. That's big enough. The Lord usually makes it just where we can barely do that. But we can. Whenever I was in graduated high school, the motto for of our class was, "A journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step." We look at that 1,000-mile journey and we don't take the first one. We don't take the first step. That's all He requires of us. Just the step He puts in front of us. Just walk in it. Forget about all the big, great things. Just do the simple. Do what's right in front of you. May the Lord add His blessing. Anyone have anything you want to share?
Yes. And for you young men and young women who hear this, why you'll be way down the road and have those of us that have to learn it later.
Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord.
That is attractive. That's why there's so many people drawn to these churches that have these rules that make everyone appear. And you just sidestep being that person yourself. And it's... Amen. Thank you.
Amen. I think that's what James warns about, not being many masters. We've all got our hands full taking care of ourselves. And to step up and try to help somebody else do that, that's a lofty thing. But the problem is we have people who's never been there, stepped up and trying to teach people that aren't even doing the things themselves. They've never exercised to godliness. What Kevin said, it's been about being able to learn it younger. I mean, that's all I was just pointed to these examples and said, be like them instead of telling me that you be what you need to be. Anyway. All right, well, God bless you.
Martin Gore.